Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're heading into Central Asia, specifically Uzbekistan, to really unpack the story of Uzum. It's more than just a company profile. We're looking at how Uzbekistan's first unicorn is actually reshaping digital finance across the region. Our mission, really, for this deep dive is to understand what's driving this Uzum revolution.
And it's definitely a revolution built on, well, a pretty unique set of circumstances. You've got this convergence in Uzbekistan demographics, economic growth kicking in, but also a huge population that just wasn't being served by traditional finance. It created this perfect storm, you know, for fintech. Our sources really focus on how Uzum Bank fits into the whole Uzum ecosystem picture.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit. To really get why Uzum took off like it did, we need to understand the setting first. What makes Uzbekistan such fertile ground?
Right. Well, look at the fundamentals. You've got a population of 37 million people. That's pretty significant. But the kicker is 60%, fully 60% of them are under 30.
60%. Wow.
Yeah. That's a massive digitally savvy generation just coming into its own. And economically, things are looking strong. GDP hit $87 billion in 2023. They're projecting, what, 6.5% growth this year, 2024, and then compound annual growth of maybe 8% through 2026. So it's not just a flash in the pan, it's sustained growth.
Okay, young population, booming economy sounds ideal. But the sources we looked at point out this strange situation. Loads of people online, loads of smartphones, but still, many can't access basic financial stuff.
Exactly. That's the paradox, right? Internet penetration is super high, like 87%. Smartphone use, over 75%. Yet you still have over 40% of adults completely outside the formal financial system.
20%.
Yeah, it's huge. So this isn't really a problem for a company like Uzum. It's this massive, gaping opportunity. Millions of people already online, comfortable with tech, but no easy way to bank, get a loan, pay digitally. That financial inclusion gap is just, well, an open invitation for innovators. And you see this driving e-commerce, too. It's expected to grow like crazy, 40 to 47% a year, hitting maybe $2.2 billion by 2027. Plus, the government's actually pushing for digital transformation, which definitely helps.
Right, which leads us directly to Uzum. It's not just a bank or just e-commerce. The sources call it an integrated digital powerhouse. What does that ecosystem model actually involve? And why does it work so well there?
It's very deliberate. Uzum is Uzbekistan's first unicorn, you know, valued over $1 billion while private. And they built this whole thing by combining Uzum Market, that's the e-commerce side, Uzum Tezkor for quick delivery, and Uzum Bank for the financial services. The real strength is how they link up. They're not silos. They feed customers into each other. This creates these really strong network effects, and it makes people stick around.
Can you give an example? How does that actually play out for a user? How do the services pull you in?
Sure. Okay. Think about Uzum Nasiya. That's their buy now, pay later option.
Right.
The data shows that almost half, 48% of all the buying and selling on their platform uses Uzum Nasiya. So you're on Uzum Market, you see something you want, boom, you can finance it right there through Uzum Bank's offering. It's seamless. Or another one, 25% of the money spent through their food delivery service actually starts from someone using the main marketplace app first. People are just hopping between the services naturally. They've also built their own local infrastructure, which is key, and they've really thought about cultural fit. Like, all their lending, it's Sharia compliant, no traditional interest.
Okay. That makes sense given the population.
Yeah, it appeals to something like 85% of the people in Uzbekistan. It shows they really get the local context, not just dropping in a generic model.
Smart. Okay, let's focus a bit more on Uzum Bank then, the financial core of this whole thing. It's a proper bank, right?
Right.
Licensed and everything.
Absolutely. It holds its own banking license. It's been lauded as the fastest growing bank in the country, even got best digital bank from Euromoney. But what's really clever is how they miss being digital first with this unique hybrid physical infrastructure.
Hybrid in a digital bank.
Yeah.
Seems a bit backward. No. How does that work? And like, why do they need physical spots in Uzbekistan?
It tackles the real world challenge of reaching everyone, you know, not just people in the big cities. They've set up this network over 1,500 pickup points. These are scattered across 450 different cities, towns, even tiny settlements and villages.
1,500. Wow.
Yeah. Think of them like mini hubs. Part post office, part e-commerce pickup, part basic bank access point. You can collect packages there, sure, but you can also get your bank card delivered next day anywhere in the country. You can get cards issued there, get help. It massively extends their reach where just being purely online wouldn't cut it. And a big innovation was that co-branded Visa debit card they launched. It had credit embedded, which was a first for Uzbekistan. They pumped out over 2 million of those cards by mid-2025. They think they'll hit over 5 million by the end of 2025. And already, they've captured like 13% of the country's entire online payments market.
That makes physical reach digital ease sounds really effective. But running 1,500 physical spots alongside a digital platform must be tough, right? Infrastructure-wise.
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge operational challenge. Scaling and maintaining that kind of network, keeping service standards high everywhere, while also innovating digitally, it needs constant, serious investment in infrastructure. It's a balancing act, making sure the physical side doesn't slow down the digital agility.
Still, the numbers look pretty stunning. $6.5 billion in total payment volume in 2023. That's a massive figure. What does that signal?
It tells you Uzum Bank is a major force now in Uzbek digital payments. Simple as that. And it's not just payments. Their lending side, especially unsecured loans, is booming. It hit $200 million in financed volume in just the first quarter of 2025. That's like 3.4 times growth year over year. It's wild.
Whoa.
But the really eye-popping number might be the user base for the whole Uzum ecosystem. Over 17 million monthly active users.
17 million.
Yeah. That's almost half the adults in Uzbekistan, maybe two-thirds of everyone with a smartphone. When you have that kind of market penetration, you have enormous influence.
Okay, those growth figures are just huge. But lending, especially unsecured lending, to a population that was mostly unbanked, isn't there a big risk there? How do they manage that credit risk while growing so fast?
That's the critical question, isn't it? Growing that fast is great, but yeah, with an underbanked population, you don't have those traditional credit scores to rely on. Uzum has to be really smart about risk assessment. They'd be leveraging all sorts of alternative data, probably from how people use their whole ecosystem, buying habits, payment patterns, you name it. They've got to constantly tweak their algorithms, refine their processes. It's a tightrope walk. Push for growth, but manage the risk carefully to keep things stable and trustworthy.
Success like that definitely attracts attention globally. Let's talk funding. That's what really cemented their unicorn status,
yeah.
Right? We saw that March 2024 round, $114 million, part equity, part debt, led by FinSight Ventures. That got them to the $1.16 billion valuation.
That was the big public arrival, yeah. But what's maybe even more significant is the more recent round, August 2025, another $70 million in equity. And look who led it, Tencent, the Chinese tech giant, and VR Capital, a big global investment firm FinSight stayed into. This latest round pushed their valuation up to around $1.5 billion after the money came in. That's a 30% jump in value in just over a year.
30% in a year.
Yeah. Shows incredible ongoing confidence from serious global players.
Tencent's involvement is huge. What do they and VR Capital bring besides just cash? And what does it say about Uzbekistan attracting this kind of international investment?
Well, Tencent is fascinating. It's not just money. It's access to, you know, world-class tech know-how, operational best practices from scaling huge digital platforms in Asia, that's invaluable. And VR Capital, they manage over $8 billion globally. They bring deep emerging markets experience, sophisticated financial market understanding. It definitely puts Uzbekistan on the map for global tech investors. You're seeing this interesting mix of East-West capital coming in. Of course, more international interest probably means more competition down the line and likely more regulatory scrutiny too. Oh, and regionally, they also secured $22 million in debt from Capital Bank over in Azerbaijan back in April 2025. So regional cooperation is happening too.
So Uzum is pulling in global capital, becoming this regional force. What does this mean for Central Asia more broadly? What's next for Uzum and what kind of ripple effect could we see?
They could really be a catalyst, you know, driving digital transformation and financial inclusion across the whole region, not just Uzbekistan. Their immediate plans are pretty ambitious. Like this September 2025, they're opening up Uzum Market to sellers from China and Turkey.
Cross-border e-commerce.
Exactly. They expect maybe 10-15% of their marketplace activity to come from that cross-border trade pretty quickly. That could make Uzbekistan a bigger regional hub. They're also rolling out new financial products. Deposit accounts are slated for September 2025, too. And longer-term credit options for consumers are planned. Plus, they're expanding their QR code payment system, pushing for more cashless retail across the board.
Those are big plans. How are they planning to fund all this continued growth? And what are the potential speed bumps?
Well, the next big step looks like a Series B funding round. They're apparently targeting $250 to $300 million in the first half of 2026. And they're even talking about potentially going public, an IPO down the road. But yeah, there are definitely challenges. Regulatory environments in emerging markets can change fast, so they need to stay nimble. Competition will heat up. Traditional banks aren't standing still, and other international players might eye the market now. And just the sheer risk of executing such rapid scaling is huge. You mentioned infrastructure before. They need to keep expanding logistics, for instance. Their current 112,000 square meters of warehouse space won't be enough for long. Keeping that growth engine running while managing all these risks, that's the real test.
It's really an amazing story, though. Identifying that huge need, building this integrated system, attracting global investment, becoming a digital finance leader for the region. It's quite the case study.
It really is. A fantastic example of fintech innovation in an emerging market. It shows what's possible with deep local knowledge, that clever integrated model, and just really strong execution. Especially that hybrid physical digital approach using those 1500 pickup points to bridge the gap. That's a powerful lesson in achieving real financial inclusion at scale. But yeah, looking at where they are now, it does raise some big, interesting questions for the future. Well, first off, can this Uzum model, this integrated ecosystem, actually work elsewhere? Or is it sort of uniquely tailored to Uzbekistan's specific situation? Second, how sustainable is this crazy growth rate? With competition rising and the constant need for more infrastructure spending, can they keep it up? Then there's the Tencent investment. What does that really signal about China's tech strategy in Central Asia? And what could that mean geopolitically? Also, is Uzum just a one-off success story, an outlier? Or is this the start of a real Central Asian tech startup boom? And finally, how are the old school banks across the region going to react? What can other countries learn from Uzbekistan about actually enabling this kind of fintech innovation?
Those are definitely some big questions to chew on as Central Asia's digital future unfolds. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Uzum revolution. We hope it gives you plenty to think about.